Yes, your children are being targeted, and yes, you should be outraged.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I am not in a panic. I am not worried. But I am very sober-minded, I am very grieved, and there are things I've been waiting a few weeks to share with you. Today is the day. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. I've said repeatedly that we will not get your blood boiling unless we also get your faith rising. But first, your blood will boil. You will be upset. You will be concerned, especially parents, grandparents, educators, all those who love children. You will be grieved, you will be upset, but it's not the end of the story. Here's the phone number to call. You can weigh in on what we're going to talk about today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or any question you want to ask me of any kind about any subject that relates in any way to The Line of Fire, we'll take some random calls a little later in the show, 866-348-7884. Do you remember in God's instructions to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy that not only were we called on to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to impress these things on our children? And you know, the feasts of Israel, the holy days, the calendar, something was supposed to happen then. Namely, that as these special events would take place, say the Passover, that the children would ask the parents, why do you do this? Transmitting things, your faith, your beliefs, your values to the next generation is of critical concern to all those who have morals, religious values that are important to you. You want to impart them to your children. Psalm 78 talks about how one generation passes things on to the next generation. That's been a great strength of traditional Judaism, passing on the rituals, passing on the beliefs, passing on the lifestyle to a next generation that grows up with it and wants to carry it out. Because why? Well, I learned it from my parents, learned it from their parents, and they believe all the way going back to Mount Sinai. So if you have a different ideology, if you have a different viewpoint, if your values, if your morals, if your religious beliefs are very different than those you were raised with or those of a prevailing culture, then all the more do you want to transmit them to children, right? In other words, you're now in the minority. Your beliefs are not what others believe. Your lifestyle is not the norm. So all the more do you want to introduce these things to children, especially if you think that the society is bigoted against your views and hostile to your views, all the more do you want to pass those on to the next generation. So I get it. I understand it. So for many years now, I have collected children's books from toddlers up through even high school, but mainly readers for young children that are written by authors who would identify as someone on the LGBTQ plus spectrum. So in their minds, they're doing something good, right? If that's you, in your mind, you're doing something good. You're helping children grow up to recognize you have families with two mommies and two daddies, along with families with mommies and daddies. And some people are boys, and some people are girls, and some people are trans, and so on. You feel that you're doing good. In your mind, you feel that you're helping these kids be more open-minded, that you are helping these kids recognize that they may not fit in the norms of the larger heterosexual society. In your mind, you're enlightening them and helping them not to be bigoted. In your mind, maybe you went through rejection, hatred, bigotry when you were growing up, and you don't want them to be subject to that. That's why you may be involved in the school system. A much higher percentage of gays and lesbians are involved in the school system than just the general population. So that's the mindset behind it. From my viewpoint, it is gross indoctrination of children. It is planting seeds in their hearts and minds that are destructive. It is a reason that so many kids are confused about their identity, that so many have made terrible choices with the help of the medical profession and their parents to do things that are irreversible. We're talking about chemical castration and genital mutilation. Horrific things have been done. And yes, parents, educators, You should be upset. You should be grieved. Now, an interesting thing happened during COVID, namely that many kids were now studying at home online, and the parents found out about some of the content. Maybe it didn't dawn on the kids to tell the parents about the content because it was just so normal and what's out there. Maybe the kids agreed with the content, or maybe everybody was too busy to talk about what happened in school. Either way, parents began to find out more of what was happening. More and more parents got outraged. That's why there's been more protests at school boards and more calling people to account. So I came across a couple of books recently. I decided to order them. I've got a large stack, and I haven't ordered for hardly any for years now because it'd just be a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger stack of books, some for toddlers. I mean, from the smallest children and up from there. All right, so I want to read some excerpts from these books. So here's a mom, a dad, or moms, dads, whatever the case would be, or maybe a preschool teacher or something, sitting with kids and reading this to impressionable little children. This one is called, What Are Your Words? What are your words? So, okay, in the front of it, it's got they, them, ze, her. It's got all these different pronouns. Okay, so you're ready for this. My Uncle Lior is coming to visit today. I can't wait to show them, not him, them, around my neighborhood. Why? Because he's trans, so he doesn't identify as he or she, but as they, them. I can't wait to show them around my neighborhood, and I can't wait for all my neighbors to meet them. They have many beautiful, colorful hats. Lior is my favorite uncle. They have many beautiful, colorful hats. The garden at their house is magical. They are a biologist and look at teeny tiny living things under a microscope. So you're even destroying grammar for a little child here by having a plural subject here with singular verbs, etc. I learned a lot from Uncle Lior, like that people can be described by more than what they look like or what they do. In fact, there are lots of words to say to people, to who people are and how they feel. Some of those words are pronouns. Pronouns are words that can take the place of your name, like I, me, you, she, he, or they. Uncle Lior knows how important my words are to me because I am always growing and changing, and some of my words change with me. In other words, I might be he today, I might be she tomorrow, I might be they the next day, and then I might switch it all around again because it's whatever I perceive myself to be. Friends, this is being put in the minds of impressionable little children. This is being put in the minds of kids who already engage in all kinds of fantasy. I mean, think of the things that you believe when were 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 and the fantasy worlds that you live in and playing with dolls and superheroes and all of that, and you became one of them. Now you're planting all this. You are indoctrinating children into fantasy and self-deception. Sometimes I know my words right away. Happy, I, creative, funny, he, him. Sometimes I have to think about my words. Thoughtful, athletic, silly, she, her. Sometimes I have to try my words out. Sleepy, calm, honest, A-M. A-M. What is A-M? Why not say I'm now blah, blue, blee, blah? This is all fantasy. Sometimes I just use one set of pronouns. Sometimes I change my pronouns. Sometimes I use all the pronouns I can think of. My pronouns are like the weather. They change depending on how I feel. This is garbage. This is indoctrinating children with garbage. This is why, because these kinds of things are talked about and taught in schools, this is one reason why so many kids are so confused. Because it's only the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest percentage, well, under 1% of little children who will wonder about their gender identity or struggle with it. This confuses more and more. How about this book? Being You. Being You. A First Conversation About Gender. Let's see what this one has to say. All right. There's only one you in the whole world. Isn't that amazing? By the way, even though this is a reader for little children, it will use explicit descriptions of body parts, just to let you know that's coming, all right? Not vulgar, but just very specific for little children. You have a body. Everybody does. What do you love about your body? Different bodies have different parts. Elbows, noses, belly buttons. I'll just use letters here in case we've got younger listeners. Some bodies have a V. That's for the ladies. Some bodies have a P. That's for the boys. Every person's body parts look different, but there are some parts we all have. When a baby is born, grown-ups might say, it's a girl if their body has a V, or it's a boy if their body has a P. Sometimes grown-ups aren't sure, but they choose the words girl or boy anyway. What did your grown-ups call you when you were born? Some babies grow into a different gender than the ones that grown-ups called them. There are lots of different genders that people grow into. Some people are girls, some people are boys, some people are neither. Some people are both. What are some genders you know about? It's okay to wonder, am I a girl, am I a boy, am I both, am I neither? Maybe you already know there's no right or wrong answer, and it's okay if your answer changes. And on and on. Whatever your feelings are, they're real important. You are the expert in being you. I'm a girl. Today I feel like a boy. I'm a girl too. I'm a woman. I'm an in-betweener. I'm trans. You get the picture. Yes, this is terribly grievous because this adds to the terrible confusion kids are growing up in, especially if the parenting is further confused in terms of the examples that are being set. And then some of these kids end up now 14, 15 years old, and they've already made life-altering decisions. Or they were complicit with the decision with their parents and the medical profession at the age of 10 to put on hormone blockers to stop the onset of puberty. Or a 13-year-old girl getting a full mastectomy, or on and on. Friends, this is madness. This is madness. The good news is the activists have overplayed their hand. And people are waking up. But God help the millions who've been negatively influenced, who are suffering from all kinds of confusion, and might make life-altering decisions that they can never reverse. Boy, do we need to get the message of truth out and dispel this darkness. Be right back. You can't resist us!
This is how we rise up. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down. I'm not shutting up. We are not shutting down. I care about every human being. Jesus shed the same blood for every single one of us, regardless of how we identify and live. Every one of us comes to the cross flawed, broken, in need of mercy. Everyone comes by nature an object of wrath. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians 2. We are all recipients of the mercy of God. Our boast is in the Lord and in the Lord alone. And that same Lord now owns us. And it's not a matter of, well, if I say this, will it be popular or not? It's not a matter of, well, if I stand up for this, will I get more support or lose support? It's a matter of, will I obey or disobey? That's why I've urged pastors, Christian leaders, parents, educators, business leaders, speak up, raise your voice, and let us be your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Let us help spread a message of grace and truth, word and spirit together. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel, reaching out to the people with compassion, resisting an activist agenda with courage. Let's do it together. Let us be the tip of the spear. We're happy to do that. We're happy to be on the front lines, taking the flak, getting the hatred. We get it day and night. It's part of the calling. We will respond to evil with good. We will respond to cursing with blessing. We will respond to hatred with love. We will respond to lies with truth. So be it. That's our calling. That's why we're here. We'll put in the effort. We'll do the study. We'll do the research. We'll put things together for you, and then you can disseminate that, and we can encourage you to take a stand, because it's grassroots. It's just people saying, hey, I disagree. This is wrong. This is crazy. What in the world is going on? And hey, I want to get involved in my school board now. Instead of just protesting, I'm going to run to be on the school board, not to try to push a gospel agenda on everyone and say, well, you must read the Bible in school and you must pray in school. No, but rather say, we're not going to push this radical sexual orientation, gender identity agenda on people. We're not going to have that in our school. And we're not going to be teaching all kinds of things. When Governor DeSantis in Florida was talking about some of the books that they removed from libraries for children, some for little children, they removed these from libraries, he started to read excerpts, and the major networks had to now go to something else because they couldn't allow the content to be read on TV. It was too explicit, and yet these are children's books in children's libraries. So my appreciation to our co-sponsor, Trivita, standing with us. So take advantage of the special offer to get the free book. Check out some of the products there, and then know as you're doing that, you're blessing yourself, you're blessing us, and you're blessing all the people that will reach through Standing Together. So that number to call is 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. All right, before I go to your calls, so everyone heard about by now the controversy with Target stores. Target for many, many years has been very aggressively pro-LGBTQ+++. For example, years ago, they changed the toy aisles. So instead of boys' toys here, girls' toys here, they just put them all together. They changed things so it wouldn't be gender distinctive. Somehow this is considered to be an advance. Somehow this is considered to be something positive. They made clear that their bathrooms could be gender neutral. You identified a particular way you went into that bathroom. So they've been very aggressive frontline, but they crossed some lines now. It just got people outraged. Matt Walsh with Daily Wire, others started to draw attention to this. But they've got swimsuits with extra fabric to tuck. So you're a boy who identifies as a girl, you're going to be wearing your girl's bathing suit, you need some extra fabric to tuck in the extra stuff there, or other things with chest binders for the girls who want to identify as boys, so when they're wearing your shirt over to something that you can't see, it's a female, and they're pushing these things, and there are some who documented that they had them in children's sizes as well. And people said, what in the world is this? What are you pushing? Why in the world are you doing that? If there are people that are struggling with identity, identify it a certain way, want to dress a certain way, Target doesn't need to worry about that. Target served the general public instead of making this a big thing, especially Pride Month coming up, etc. So there is a line of enamel pins that was associated with someone with some openly satanic beliefs or philosophies. And these were in an online catalog. A friend sent me pictures from the Target online catalog. So I'm looking at some of these. If you're watching, you see on the screen. One of the little pins, and there were images of Baphomet, so a satanic image. Time's up for transphobes. This was Target was selling these. And here it's UK company, so you got the price in pounds. Time's up for transphobes, an enamel pin. How about this one? Heteronormativity is a plague. This is Target selling these enamel pins. How about this one? Satan respects pronouns. Target was selling these. This is not a myth. This is reality. Let's put the next ones up, the next set. We bash back. Oh, yeah, we're going to fight back. How about this one? Homophobe headrest, and it's a guillotine. It's a guillotine. That's the homophobe headrest. And then poppers open your third eye. So with some of the outrage over this, Target stepped back and dropped some of these items. But according to reports, they lost $10 billion in stock value in 10 days. $10 billion in stock value in 10 days. Budweiser, Latest report I've read, they lost over $15 billion, over $15 billion. This is just grassroots people saying, why on earth are you having some man who identifies as a woman be the poster boy for ladies now, for girls? Why on earth are you doing this? Why are you pushing this? Andrew Sullivan, eloquent, gay journalist, blogger, highly educated, wrote an article recently in The Atlantic, I believe it was, and it was the battle between queers and homosexuals. And he was saying, listen, we didn't ask for this. And this whole new queer agenda that there is no human nature, so there's no such thing as even male or female, or the trans activism with boys competing against girls and robbing them, and men competing against women, robbing them of their achievements, and boys sharing girls' bathrooms in schools because they identify as girls, and on, all these things happening. He's basically saying, we didn't ask for this. And also saying, hey, look, we never targeted children's bodies the way these trans activists are. Yeah, but you targeted children's minds. This indoctrination, this nonsense that's being fed to them from their earliest days is bringing massive confusion. And that's what I wrote. You can't separate the LGB from the Q and the T. So for those who wonder why we've been on the front lines shouting about these things in the midst of all the other ministry we're doing, going to the nations and preaching the gospel and doing outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and standing up for so many other areas within the body, why it is that we have addressed these things so strongly, one major reason is because of the assault on children. And that's what got so many parents upset with some of the things that Target has done recently. It's an assault on children. So let us, with one voice, tell our gay, lesbian, trans-identified neighbor, coworker, hey, you're a fellow human being. I love you. You're my neighbor. You're my colleague. You're my fellow worker. I don't hold anything against you personally. I don't look down my nose at you and I'm superior and you're inferior. We all need Jesus. We all fall short. We all need the gospel. At the same time, there are goals that have been set. There are things that are being done that we differ with and we stand against. And that's the reality. And we're not going to back down. We're not going to compromise, because if we do, we're going to have to explain ourselves to the next generation. Remember what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. What kind of world are we leaving to our children? All right, number to call to get on the air with me. And if you differ with me, if you think I'm bigoted, homophobic, transphobic, hateful, give me a call. Tell me why. I won't bark at you. 866-348-7884. And the phones will be open to all kinds of other topics. You set the agenda. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. You know, you can reach out to us online if you've got questions that you're unable to ask. Maybe you're unable to listen live and call in. You can reach out through the website, askdrbrown.org. Click on Contact. We answer many questions directly via email to those who write into us. And you can also shoot us a note via social media or say, hey, could you teach on this, or could you talk about this on the radio, or could you tackle this subject or that? And we'd be happy to consider doing it. Now, I've got some strong words of encouragement for you, some words of hope and courage and faith. So I'm going to get to that in a moment. Remember, I'm not going to get you worked up and angry unless we also have something positive faith building to share as well. But first, we go to the phones. Let's go over to New York. Joseph, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, hey, my name is Evangelist Joseph Anikowicz. I'm known as the Trumpet Dad. I have a show that broadcasts on the Now Network Friday night at 7. And my main purpose of my show is to blow the shofar and the truth into fathers, to blow it into their sons and their daughters so that they might come to know Yahweh and Yeshua. And I've got to tell you, my first show, which airs on June 2nd, is all about transgender. And what you're talking about today couldn't be more accurate. And I just wanted to know, I've been supporting your ministry for many, many years. But what I want to say is one thing, and I'd like your feedback on it. I find it interesting that the name trans is put before gender, because we know that when we break Yahweh's law, we're called a transgressor. And I find it very interesting that not only are they identifying with the transgressor, the breaking of Yahweh's law, but they call themselves by names such as they or us. And we know from the Gospels that when Yeshua entered any place where there was a demonic person, many times they would call themselves and say, let us not be sent to the place that we're being called to. Or, I can't say verbatim scripture, but they would often speak in that plurality, in that form, because there was many demonic beings that were in them. And I believe that's what we're seeing today, that when the children are led wrong, when schools and the government are backing up an agenda to indoctrinate our children into not believing Yahweh's law, he made them male and he made them female. I'm sorry, Jimmy, you're not June, and I'm sorry, Barbara, you're not Bob. He made you male and female. And what we're seeing is that they're teaching children to not trust in the word of Yahweh, to think that it is nothing but a lie, so that they can be captured into this demonic trap and ultimately destroy themselves. And you've seen it, Dr. Brown. How many times have you heard them say, and I'm sorry to be so long-winded, but I'm passionate about children. This is my ministry. How many times have you heard them say, it doesn't end well for many of these people who turn to transgenderism? They're dealing with suicide, or they're dealing with this, that, or the other thing. They tend to blame society and say that we don't show them love, but that's not true of those of us who belong to Yahweh, who follow Yeshua. We know that we need to love them.
Let me say this, Joseph. You also have high statistics with suicide, with depression, even after so-called sex change surgery, with many who live in totally affirming communities. So, to blame it on transphobia and societal rejection doesn't work in many, many cases. And the real issue is that whatever is troubling this person, whatever the issue is that's causing them this pain and this confusion, by dealing with things outwardly, with hormones and trying to adjust the body, it doesn't fix where the real problem is, which is on the inside. And somehow we have to learn to help people from the inside out. So here's something really interesting, Joseph, when you mentioned the legion of demons saying, us, because they're this individual is possessed or dominated by perhaps thousands of demons. So there is a phenomenon now spreading rapidly, especially through TikTok. And I've even heard directly from parents whose kids got pulled in by this. But the kids are now self-diagnosing. So they'll watch some video, and now they're self-diagnosing and saying, I have, for example, multiple personality disorder, which means that there are many different me's. So instead of saying it's a disorder, now they're saying there are many different me's inside of me, right? And some of the me's are male, and some of the me's are female. So that's why one day I'm male, next day I'm female. Or that's why I need to be on hormones to be conform, that these are called, these alter egos within these kids. So it's a societal madness. It's a societal contagion that's spreading. And certainly there's got to be demonic influence when you have so many people. You have whole groups of girls, friends together, all coming out as trans at the same time. So on the one hand, there's a psychological name for it, which is sociological contagion. On the other hand, are there no spiritual influences involved? Are there no demonic powers involved to destroy lives? So we know that in a host of different ways, people open themselves up. Say a man opens himself up to anger and jealousy, and you could open yourself up to demonic power. If someone downloads porn all the time, whatever the things are, you open yourself up to some cult or false religion. So in many different ways, we can open ourselves up to demonic influence. It's going to be the same thing here. The good news is that there are more and more people. I just got a request from a woman, former transgender, asking if I'd endorse her book, her testimony. More and more people that are coming out on the other side. But Joseph, a whole lot are really being hurt badly. And by the time they get help, it's a little late in the game. And there's even a website, sexchangeregret.com, from my friend Walt Heyer, sexchangeregret.com. Walt'sinhis80s.com, where many people have written in. And you know, Walt's in his 80s now, and that's his own story of going through this and having sex change surgery and then coming to the Lord after that, now being happily married to a woman. But I said, you know, you're older, and it's a lot of work to do. And he said, yeah, as long as these letters keep coming in, emails keep coming in, I have to keep working at this to help them. So, Joseph, may the Lord use you to bless and help others. I appreciate you calling in, sir.
Dr. Brown, I just want to ask one last thing. If you wouldn't mind, I'll send you an email if you would consider coming on my broadcast. It's in prime time, doing an interview to continue to help us spread this message to take our children back. We need to take our children back. We need to guard them, guide them, and lead them to Yahweh. We need to blast the teruah. We need to let them know that they have a place that they can come where they know that God's word is real. It's not a lie. And they can place their trust in what the word of God says. So I pray that you would consider that. I will send you an email.
Write to the website. Obviously, we get tons of requests, but we help wherever we're able to help. So look forward to hearing from you, my brother. And I love that New York spirit. That's my hometown. Thank you for the call. So let's break this down a little bit different way. All right. Let's put aside what the Bible says that God created us male and female. All right, let's just put that aside in terms of, okay, we believe that as followers of Jesus, or just common sense tells you, okay, there are two biological sexes. We understand that. But let's step back and think about this. When I was in high school, we had gone on strike right before I got saved to have this school where we had less requirements, get out early and get high all day and get grades for it. I mean, it's crazy, but school went along with it. And that's why I had a lot of free time once I got saved to spend 5, 6, 7 hours in the Word and prayer every single day, because I had a very light school schedule. And I remember that we had a philosophy class. We had every kind of class. We had American history. We had occult and witchcraft in our school, seriously. So there was a philosophy class. And at this point, I was now born again. And one of the questions was, is there absolute truth? So I argued, yes. I'm fairly sure I was the only one in my class that argued yes. And the philosophy professor, whose name I remember, the philosophy professor differed with me. I think I got a decent grade. Well, you got a like automatic passing. It was just pass fail. We didn't even get regular number grades. But so I passed. And I think he was positive on the way I wrote, if I remember. But of course, there is no absolute truth. So I may think so, but that's just my own view. So there was a time when truth normally meant truth, and it wasn't, well, you have your truth, I have my truth. For example, I'm looking at our clock right now, Eastern Daylight Time. It is 3:39, 33, 34. That's not my truth versus your truth. That is the truth. That is the accurate time, right? I am in the state of North Carolina now. I am not in London. I am not in Paris. I'm not in California. I'm not in Rhode Island. That's not my truth. That is the truth. Oh, but these days, you have your truth. That may be true for you, but it's not true for me. So truth becomes relative. What about morality? There was a time when much of the society agreed certain things are right, certain things are wrong. Well, that's gotten much, much smaller in terms of what's acceptable, what isn't, what's right, what's wrong. Well, it may be right for you, wrong for someone else. Now, I understand you can have certain things that are relative, right? Certain families grow up with certain standards, certain cultures have certain standards, certain customs. I get all that. But there are things that are universally right, universally wrong. To murder someone is universally wrong. That's not self-defense if you get attacked. That's not murder. That's not defending yourself in a war. That's not murder. That's not even the death penalty for someone that's taken a life. Murder is the taking of an innocent life. That's always wrong. Stealing is always wrong. Adultery is always wrong. These things are morally wrong. No, 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 no. You have your morality. I have my morality. So we have relative truth. We have relative morality. And then we have relative reality. Relative reality. Well, that may be real for you, but it's not real for me. I remember having a conversation with a young woman who was a school teacher, and it was when North Carolina, Mecklenburg County, we lived near there, there was the discussion about making all public places, bathrooms, things like that, gender neutral. So we were there with others to present our point of view to the city council. And I was talking to this one woman because we did a rally beforehand. And I said to her, and she was saying, hey, she teaches all these kids and has influence over all these kids, etc. And that it's, you know, gender is whatever you perceive it to be. And I said, well, what if I perceive myself to be a horse? Can I use this table? She said, yes. You're a school teacher teaching little children. Then I was talking to an African-American young man. So it was a white lady and then African-American young man. And I mentioned African-American only because of the skin color issue that came up. A very articulate, seemed very clear-headed. And we got to this subject, and he said, the way you determine male-female by biology, that's so primitive. Primitive. That's what he said to me. And he said, gender is not what's between your legs. It's what is between your ears. It's whatever you perceive it to be. So I said, isn't the same as skin color? What if I perceive myself to be black? Am I? Well, no, that's different. I finally pressed him. He said, well, if you perceive yourself to be black, you are black. Friends, this is madness. This is madness. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Okay, I'm going to say something that you're going to find really interesting, then a word of encouragement, then I may grab a couple of questions being posted on YouTube. So I was talking to a pastor friend who's working in his state for righteous laws that will prevent children from being chemically castrated or genitally mutilated. And he said that he went over to some of the social media pages, websites of parents and others who are advocating for transgender kids, trans-identified kids to get medical care, meaning hormone treatments or potential surgery in their teen years and things like that. And he said they sounded just like us. He said they were saying, we got to save the children. We got to fight for the children. We got to save the children. And I said, exactly. In their view, we are driving children to suicide. In their view, we are not giving kids the care that they need. In their view, we are not giving them the lifeline they need to find wholeness. So they're passionate about it, and they're saying you're committing genocide against trans kids, and we're saying you are destroying the lives of impressionable young children. What are you doing? What we need to understand is that people are passionate. We say it's calling evil good and good evil. That's what we believe. We're convinced of it, convicted of it, and we'll stand for that and want to see state after state after state pass laws to protect the children. And then, even more importantly, do our level best to find out what's causing the pain in these children and in these adults, if you want to call it gender dysphoria in terms of a psychological name. Whatever's causing the pain, the torment, we want to do our best to find out what the roots of it are to help people. This is not just a matter of saying, well, God made a male and female, and that's that. Well, it is that's that in terms of reality in God's sight. They're not multiple sexes. They're those with physical, biological chromosomal abnormalities that would be categorized as intersex. Also people who can suffer terribly, rejection, inner pain, that need our compassion and our love. Absolutely, 100%. But let's not just be saying this is what's right, this is true. Let's try to listen to those who are hurting. Let's try to listen to those who differ with us and to see, okay, how can I help? How can I somehow bring a message of hope and love and transformation? Yes, I know I'm going to be perceived as hateful, bigoted, transphobic, homophobic, etc. I get that. I understand it. But I'm going to still, on a one-on-one level, on a grassroots level, in terms of equipping the church, do whatever's possible to help us walk in love, walk in grace towards others, and say, okay, we're going to do our best to help you from the inside out. We want to join you in your struggles. And one of the first things to do is get rid of some of that trash that I read at the beginning that puts all this nonsense in the hearts and minds of impressionable little children who don't understand gender distinctions yet, who don't understand these other things. So that's what we have to do. Now, word of encouragement. For 25 years, roughly, I've had a promise from the Lord that as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, there would be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution that would take back some of the ground that was taken in the aftermath of the counterculture revolution, sexual revolution that continues to unfold in our society today from the 60s and on. Doesn't mean that America will become a perfectly Christian nation or everyone will be saved. No. But just as there was a swing one way, there's going to be a swing back. Now, friends, here's the thing. It's got to be led by the people of God. It's got to be led by individual believers. It's got to be led by people of compassion. It's got to be led by Jesus lovers. It's got to be led by spiritual leaders, and not just by politics and culture, right? We have to be the ones that lead the way, so we're not just changing laws, but we're also changing hearts. We've talked about this for years. We've said this was coming for years. People thought, come on, man, get over it. It's not happening. It's never going to happen. Well, it's been happening more and more for the last several years. It is happening in front of our eyes. These massive boycotts now are just another evidence that people are saying enough is enough. Pushback in the schools, getting destructive materials removed, that the school boards being changed, laws being passed across states, Roe v. Wade being overturned, more and more pro-life laws. As long as we remember, we've got to ground everything in prayer and then in gospel. So changing hearts, changing minds, changing lives. God's people, not living as hypocrites, not pointing at you bad people out there while we're doing the same things in different ways behind closed doors. No, as godly people who love Jesus and who love their neighbors and who really care and who go about doing good, let's live that out. Let's win the lost, and let's ground all this in prayer, and we will see this gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, which is unfolding in front of our eyes. And we see it again on stateside level and in national movements. We will see the tide turn. You say, oh, so you just want to crush all those who differ? No, I want to win them. I want them to hear the good news of the Messiah. And if they don't, well, they live their lives. Just like an atheist lives his or her life in America, Muslim lives his or her life in America, we live our lives here, neighbors in the same cities and going to work together and so on. But it means that ideologies that we believe are destructive that are being pushed won't be pushed. And maybe ideologies that are more holistic and more helpful and more life-giving will be pushed. All right, let's just see here if we get to some YouTube questions as well, or you can call in 866-348-7884. Be assured that God is never passively sitting by wringing his hands. Oh no, what am I gonna do? No, not God. Remember Psalm 2, when the rulers of the world say, we don't want the Lord or his anointed. We do not want to be ruled by God. So it's an ancient Israelite context, and those that want to rebel against the Davidic king and ultimately rebel against the Messiah, he who sits in heaven laughs. God's not perturbed. God grieves, yes. God feels pain, yes. God feels joy, yes. And what capacity he does, it's obviously infinite in terms of who he is, and multiple things can happen at the same time within God, even within us. Right, so we don't want to project our feelings on God, but we are created in his image. God's never worried. God's never uptight. I never spend time in God's presence and come out worried. I may come out burdened. I don't come out worried. And when I really meet with him, I come out in faith because God is at work. 866-34-TRUTH. Darren asks, do you personally, this is on YouTube, so if you like to watch the show or catch it later watching it, it's Ask Dr. Brown, ASK Dr. Brown channel on YouTube or on Facebook, ASK Dr. Brown on Facebook. Darren, do you personally think and feel you have the capacity to forfeit eternal life? Yes, I believe that any of us as children of God can willfully turn away from him. I absolutely put 100% of my trust in his power to keep me to the end. So I never worry a split second about, quote, losing my salvation. I believe he who started the good work will bring it to completion. I believe that Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. So I never, ever worry for a split second about, quote, losing my salvation. But I do know that the many warnings in Scripture that are given through the New Testament, even saying that it would be better having not to have ever known the Lord than to have known him and turn away, right? So that would mean that your eternal fate is worse in that case. So God does not force us to stay in his house. God does not force us to stay in his family. And we do have the ability to turn away from him, rebel, and reject his lordship. But if we want him as our Lord, he is our Lord, period. He will never leave us, forsake us, period. End of subject. So rest assured in that. And if you think, hey, I'm gonna just do whatever in the world I want to do, no, that's when holy fear should come on you. All right, let's grab one more call from Kaylin in Washington and Vancouver. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I've got a question that's been on my mind for a long time about what it means to be a partaker of the divine nature.
Mm-hmm.
That verse in
2 Peter 1.
Yeah, Peter. Yep. Yes, that's right. And I've heard some different things that I think are well-intentioned, but kind of just from theology that's maybe not qualified fully. So I've heard some things like, well, almost like the idea that we become, when we're born again, we become something in and of ourselves. Like, this divine nature is something we have in and of ourselves, rather than by virtue of our connection to the Lord, mm-hmm. conditional upon our connection to the Lord and sharing gradually and growing,
right.
having that divine nature instilled in us. But it kind of this idea that, well, when you're born again, you can't be any more like Jesus than you already are in your spirit.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah, so tell you what, I'm just going to jump in quick only because I've got the end of the show coming up. Number one, we are called to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, right? Peter writes that, 1 Peter 5, 2 Peter 1. These are the things now that we need to put on to grow. Colossians 3, to take off the old nature and to put on the new and to grow in this and this and this. 2 Corinthians 7, 1, because of the promises we have, let us put away everything that defiles flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So we grow in holiness. We grow in maturity. We grow in Christ-likeness. That's the exhortation in 2 Peter 1. The whole teaching, you know, you were little gods and now I'm this somebody. No, but we partake in the divine nature, meaning that we can now become holy people. We can now become people full of love and grace and mercy and compassion. And then when we die and are resurrected, that will be our totality, will be that perfection in our lives without sin as servants of God. But in this world, we can partake. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We do partake. Thank you, sir.